From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
For the week of March 27, 2006, it is the Disc Golf News. I'm Brian Sullivan coming up in the show this time. The Points Palace is where we're taking you. Now, there are certain special tournaments. Consider amateurs. You've got, of course, Worlds. You've got the Am Nationals. You've got the Mid Nationals. And then you've got the Bowling Green Am Championships in Bowling Green, Kentucky. This event has become a monster. We're going to be talking with Tournament Director Larry Bledsoe. He's going to give us a preview of this big, big, big event. He's expecting over 450 amateur players next weekend. He's going to tell us why they all come. Brian Schweberger, professional disc golfer extraordinaire, is going to join us to tackle the topic of the thumber shot. Then in the clinic, and we've got results from the Melbourne National Tour event in Florida. It is all on the way on this edition of PDGA Radio News, brought to you by Innova Champion Discs at InnovaDiscs.com.
The Champion Sidewinder from Innova is the latest addition to the state-of-the-art Champion line. The Sidewinder is designed for long turnover shots and long-distance rollers. The extra long glide will add D to your drive no matter how big your arm is. And the Sidewinder is made with Champion Line plastic, so it holds up round after round. Your game just got better with a new Sidewinder from Innova, number one in disc golf.
92 Big Arms Pros showed up in Melbourne, Florida last weekend for the Melbourne Open National Tour event. Results are coming your way, beginning with the Masters Division. Talk about March Madness. Brad Hammack turns in an incorrect scorecard and two extra strokes for you, my friend. As a result, he is trailing C.R. Willie by one going into the third, but C.R. stumbles, bubbles. Oh, it's tied up after regulation. They go into the playoff. Hammack is your winner after all. And picked up $1,000, C.R. Willie, second place. Greg Maniakoska takes third for the Masters. In the women's division, Carrie Burlager of California shoot for her first world's title this year. She's well on her way. She wins by a bunch over Pam Ranke, will take second place. Nadine Cosgrove takes third for the ladies. And in the open division, Kenny Climo destroys most of the field. He beats Johnny McRae by four, Barry Schultz in third. And that is how it went down at the Melbourne Open.
Time now for the 60-second clinic. So I was out shooting some rounds with some buddies over the weekend, and we come to some tough holes. They are very long and narrow fairways. There are scrub trees and brush going about 10 to 12 feet up the entire length of the fairway. So you've got one of two choices. You can either throw it low and flat and straight as an arrow and hope you get as far down the fairway as you can and stay in the fairway, or you can just pull out your trusty thumber shot, go over the top of everything, and predictably, as always, land smack dab in the middle of the fairway. Of course, the one guy in the group who had that shot in his repertoire, well, he got accused of being a cheater by the rest of us. Of course, he's not cheating. He's playing within the rules, and he's got a very effective shot. As a result, he picked up a couple strokes on the rest of the group. So if you've been working on your thumber shot, you need a little guidance, we've got a guy here to help. He is professional disc golfer Brian Schweberger, and he's going to give us his take on the hook thumber.
The hook thumber is an overhand shot that I utilize quite a bit. I have the thumb on the inside part of the rim, and the first digit of my index finger is hooked around the end of the rim. I throw it for any shot from 350 feet out in the open to even a 150-foot shot in the woods. A little tight shot that I'll throw low through the woods. I'll throw a little bit sidearm release, and it'll corkscrew all around the trees to my objective point. And when I'm throwing it out in the open, I'm just throwing it at about a 45-degree angle release off of my shoulder, straight up, the disc being straight up and down out of release, using a very overstable Champion Firebird. As far as getting in trouble, you can get caught OB up high if the two-meter rule is in effect. I really don't take that into account, because if I'm willing to throw that shot, I'm willing to take the strokes that it could incur. So that's the only downside I can see to throwing that shot, as far as I go.
Professional disc golfer Brian Schweberger of North Carolina finished in 10th place last year at Pro Worlds.
Hi, this is Ken Climo. You're listening to PDGA Radio News.
In the big picture, if you are a PDGA tournament player, chances are good, regardless if you've been playing for 2 years or 20, that you have played at least one event in Bowling Green, Kentucky. This town has become what we are calling the Points Palace. Every spring, over 400 amateur players alone come to one tournament here. It's called the Bowling Green Amateur Championships, and it just happens to be coming up this weekend. So we're talking with Larry Bledsoe today. He is the tournament director for the Amateur Championships, and we wanted to find out how this event got so darn big. He began the discussion with a little bit of his background in the sport.
Well, let's see, I started playing golf after I got out of the military. It would have been 95. I just kind of played it for fun, saw some people playing it. My dad actually played, so I kind of went out and played with him, got, you know, involved and hooked on it basically within one summer. So started playing events here, doubles, mainly doubles, and then got in with the club, started helping them out, running little mini events. H.B. Clark was running them at that time. Rocky Russell was another one that was doing the Shoe Sensation, which was our NT now. So I kind of started helping with them, and I've been hooked pretty much ever since then. Playing the tournaments, I've taken over probably running the AM event the last 4 or 5 years, where I've pretty much been the TD for it, and I've enjoyed it. It's kind of my desire to make the tournament the biggest, and obviously we've done that due to numbers we're getting, but I also don't want people to come in and leave here unhappy. So, you know, we've done real good on getting things done. The club helped out a lot with getting courses ready, with players' packs preparation, award preparation. I mean, we have a pretty good club, although the majority of them is probably pros. Our AMs, while they're there, are not as active as the pros are. We wish they would be, but unfortunately we have about a core of about 12 players, probably club members, that pretty much take care of all events and all functions that go on here in the Bowling Green area.
But nonetheless, those 12 have become really a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, they have. I mean, we've had them. They've been there a long time. H.B. Clark, kind of founder, him and Rick Boat. You know, they still come and do everything, obviously. Still active. H.B.'s still designing courses, so he's had a lot of impact here in Bowling Green. Jeff Sewell's doing a lot. He's kind of instrumental in getting our Preston Miller course ready in time to be able to use for this year's AM event. But so while we only have 12, they are pretty good at doing you know, what they do. They've been doing it a while. Some a lot longer than almost as long as I've been born. Some have been playing disc golf, I think. So, it's a pretty good club in general. We just wish we had a few more that would get in, and for some reason in this area, they just don't want to cooperate with
it. Well, I think every club, has, you know, those who just want to come and play and those who want to, you know, continue to build events and make things happen. But let me ask you about the history of the Bowling Green Open itself. I have to assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, that at one point this was a pro and am event, and then at some point the club had to decide, hey, we got to break these into separate weekends.
Yes, it was. I think it was, let's see, 99, I do believe, we had the last pro and am together, and we had 360-something players come in. And being that we normally play just the four courses, that pretty much put us at a max. So we decided that we either had to do one or two things, either limit the field, which meant more pros would probably get knocked out because a lot of AMs were starting to come, or we would need to split it and have it on two different weekends. So we, you know, we obviously decided to go ahead and split it, and it has grown into, you know, an enormous number on our AM weekend. While we still do, you know, get quite a few for the pros, it's just that the AM weekend has kind of taken over as far as the big tournament in town.
Last year at the Amateur Championships, you had nearly 450 players. What kind of growth curve have you seen there since you broke out the AMs from the pros?
We have probably, I would say, grown about 130 to 150 players per year, which is kind of surprising because I keep figuring that, you know, eventually we would hit a cap and we would not go up. We would actually, you know, stay even or even drop, you know, just being, you know, to me, once you got to that 400 mark or 350 mark, I just really didn't see us keep going up. And to my surprise, every year we have gone up, and we get a lot pre-registered. And then come Friday night, due to the fact that we don't turn anybody away, I think that helps us our growth. We have another 100 or two come in.
It's absolutely incredible, especially if you look at other amateur events, even the major amateur events. The Bowling Green amateur event just continues to be a monster. Now, let's talk about the factors that makes it such a popular event. Obviously, you're centrally located, so you can kind of grab players from a wide circle of surrounding states. So let's talk about some of the other reasons that people love to come to this event.
I think one, like you just said, we are centrally located, and players can fly into, like, Nashville, which is about an hour away, and drive up. The other reason, I think, is that we have it early enough in the year, April being, when it starts to get pretty warm. So a lot of players like to be able to play that time of the year, so especially the northern players all come down, and, they're all happy to be out of the ice and snow that may still be on their ground and play in 60-degree weather, although it usually is windy or possibly even a rain. So I think that helps us in a whole lot. It's the fact that the time of the year is good, and the weather's usually pretty decent.
How far away have you had some players come to the annual event?
We've had players, I know for sure, as far away as California, and we do get quite a few from Florida every year, and we're starting to grow the number of players we're receiving from Texas. So that's always good with the number of tournaments that they have a year.
Now, I understand that a lot of these players, I mean, obviously they'd love to come, and the word of mouth on the Bowling Green AM Championships is just great. But I know a lot of them like to come because it's considered to be a points bonanza. I mean, with one event, you can get an invitation to Worlds. So let's consider the advanced AMs. At what point could you, draw a line and say all of these players are going to be automatically invited to Worlds?
I would say anybody in the top 50 would probably be an automatic invite to the world in the advanced division. Or like it could even go to almost the top 100, but I almost guarantee the top 50 would probably get in.
So if you are an advanced AM, you got a pretty good game going, or you just want to go to Worlds, and you don't have a lot of opportunity to play at a bunch of events, this could be your one big event of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Point-wise, and even number-wise, the numbers will have, in per se the advanced division alone, equals up to four or five, six, even eight-tier to B-tier tournaments and, 10 or 15 small tournaments. So for players to come here for an opportunity to get invited to World is really the best way for them to do it.
Now, I know in the past you've had a policy of pretty much if you come, you're in. Is that still the case?
Yes, it is. We are definitely going to do a anybody that shows up Friday night, we will get in. We've added courses in order to accommodate as many players as we have to. Doing that, though, we may make a few unhappy with the way we've had to schedule the rounds and the way you got to play. And we're going to take a notice of that this year and see if players like the format or if they prefer for us to limit it. So there is a chance come next year that could happen. But I don't think we will be having to worry about that at least for another year or two.
So what do you mean when you say that? Are we talking about, crack of dawn rounds or what?
No, it's just that what we're having to do is we basically are running three full divisions of advance, which means that there won't be any kind of shuffle due to the fact you can't play the same courses on the same day. So what we're having to do is everybody plays all four rounds, and then we're having the final nine. And I know that may go over for most players, but then again, there's going to be a lot of players that may not like the fact that they don't know who's winning until after the fourth round.
One of the things that this event is popular for is the players package. So can we kind of take a peek into the players package this year? What's coming out of that?
This year is actually going to be pretty sweet. We've got the Discraft Full Color Array Spectra. They did the custom stamp for us. It looks pretty good. We also got from Innova the Starline Wraith. We're also getting the Gateway, I do believe, Element. And we will be getting a DGA Stratus. So, and they will also receive a custom t-shirt and a mini.
One of the reasons that Bowling Green has such a good reputation is you've got great courses. So kind of give us an overview of the courses that the players are going to be playing this weekend.
they will play, especially the AM division will play our main four courses, which are real, they're all pretty well different. You have white, which is going to be long, windy, and for the first time we're actually going to play the long setup just like the pros would. In other words, they will play the OBs where normally they wouldn't play the OBs. So it's pretty much a long course, takes real accurate drives, and then good up shots, and then hit your putt and you move on. Kariakas is probably our best course in town. It has a lot of sticky trees that will catch it just about any disc that goes into them. It requires a variety of shots, turnovers, hyzers, a few low ceiling shots. You can even throw rollers on a few of the holes. So most people in town love that course. And then we go to a course like Hobson, which is relatively short, however tight. So it requires accuracy, as well as, you know, a little luck off of some trees to stay in the fairways. And then we go to Lovers, which is probably our second favorite course. Fairly wide open, does have some trees on a few holes, but always nicely manicured, and it's just an overall fun course to play.
And after the AMs are there and gone, the pros will come in for the Bowling Green Open National Tour event. Last year, the purse was over $24,000. How is that shaping up this year?
I expect that we will have another purse, probably in excess of $20,000. Obviously, we have a few more things to iron out between now and then, but I would expect our purse to be in that area. Pre-registration is going as expected for the pros. We probably have 20 or 30 already, which we normally don't get very many because, once again, we allow the pros to come in and sign up on Friday, just like we do the AM, so we can take as many as want to show.
And for either an AM or a pro who either of these events hadn't even shown up on their radar screen and suddenly they're hearing this interview and they're going, wow, I have to be there, do you have any last-minute advice for them?
Well, if you're an AM, definitely want to get to the check-in pre-registration as early as possible just so you don't have to wait in line, because the line here, regardless of whether you're pre-registered or registered, will be long, and you will have to wait in line. Pros, come in with your good game and hope you can putt, because that's what it requires here in Bowling Green to win the tournament, is usually good driving and a whole lot of good putting.
Larry Bledsoe is tournament director for this weekend's Bowling Green Open Championships, April 1st and 2nd in Bowling Green, Kentucky. He spoke to us from his home there in Bowling Green.
Hey, don't be a fool. Get out and play this weekend, April 1st and 2nd, of course, the Bowling Green Amateur Championships. Or if you're a pro, you're headed to Gainesville for the Gator Country Classic. In Nacogdoches, Texas, it's the FlyingHighDiscGolf.com Pecan Park Open. Wilmington, North Carolina, hosting the Azalea Tournament. The Bluemont Cherry Blossom in Arlington, Virginia this weekend. Hastings, Minnesota, it's the Discraft Spring Open at C.P. Adams. Amsier on Saturday, Advanced and Pro on Sunday. In Yorktown, New York, it's the FDR Fools Fest. JDGF at Zeebo's, that's in Fort Worth. Emporia, Kansas, hosting the Monkey Island Open. Fayetteville, Arkansas, the North Shore Invitational. Surprise of the Fools in Bath, New York. North Augusta, hosting the Hippodrome Tournament. That's an International Disc Golf Center fundraiser. In Bremerton, Washington, it's the Fools Weekend with the DGA. And the 9th Annual Newport News Spring Pro-Am in Virginia.
Get out there and throw!
Finally this week, a request. If you are in a band or you know a disc golfer who is in a band, we're looking for some music to spice up the radio show. We want to do some, you know, custom disc golf kind of music, and I know there are a ton of disc golfers and bands out there, so we want to hear from you folk. Just drop us an email, if you would. Please do not send us your music. Drop us an email. Tell us where we can go to find that music on the web, and we'll go check it out. And, you know, of course, if we use the music in the show, we'll tell other disc golfers about you and your band. So drop those emails to pdgaradio@pdga.com. And that, my friends, is the disc golf news for the week of March 27th for the PDGA. I'm Brian Sullivan. Thanks to our sponsor this week, Innova Champion Disc. And until next time, I hope you will get out there, huck some plastic, take a newbie disc golfing, and keep them in the fairways.